KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with our co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Jim, we missed you around here the past few weeks.
Yeah, co-host, you're the host. I'm just like a slappy that comes in here and kind of does it with you. But excited to be here, and it's been a busy spring. The season's kind of wrapping up a little bit with our teams, and we're ready for summer, and hopefully have a great year next year.
And you were just telling me before we went on air that you had an adventurous trip to kick off your summer. Talk about that a little bit.
I had a great time. Some of our loyal fans took me up to Canada for a fishing trip, and we had about 14 Bulldogs up there, and was able to spend some time with them and talk about what our future is and catch a little fish, and but also just get away and spend time with people that have means a lot to our program.
Any big catches for you?
I did okay. You did okay. Yeah, I did okay.
How about Coach Tedford? I heard he had a big catch.
It was Taylor Tedford. He got a 120-pound halibut and got a nice king, and then the king's hook got stuck in my leg, so I had a little adventurous time with the doctor up there. So, yeah.
And you live to tell about it, I guess.
So far.
I know everyone enjoys when you're in the studio with us, giving us that inside scoop on Fresno State sports. And the season's officially wrapped up now for the summer. The student athletes are off on their breaks or taking summer classes or whatever they're doing. But give us kind of your takeaways from the past year in Bulldog athletics.
First of all, I think the summer is the key thing for all. I mean, they take time off, but they also, this is the key for them to get better. Men and women, all of our sport programs, summer workouts, summer classes. Coaches really can't coach them on the field during the summer, but they can take the initiative to be themselves and go out there and work. I think you see a lot of people getting better between June 15th and August 15th when the time comes. I think all in all, the season was, you know, we have great coaches and great student athletes. Our GPA was very high. We competed in a lot of programs. We didn't win a championship. And that's my goal when I first got here was every one of our sports, I want to have graduate our kids, be academically eligible, be great community members, but also compete for championships. And, you know, obviously softball, men's basketball, and baseball had a chance. And, you know, women's golf finished third. I mean, so it wasn't like we were last place in every program. But I think we need to step it up and make sure that we're doing the right things to make sure we're competitive top to bottom and compete for championships in all 21 of our sports.
And I know historically we were talking a little bit off air. That's, you know, the history of Bulldog athletics is that they are competing for conference championships. And I know that's been your goal. Yeah. You've said it from day one. And what do you think needs to change as far as that? I know a lot of the programs weren't too far off there with second, third, fourth place
finishes. If every team was last, I'd be more worried. Also, when you talk about the 92 to, you know, recently, a lot of that was the WAC, which is a different, whole different conference, a little bit easier. But I still feel very strongly that, you know, Dr. Castro has put a lot of investment in athletics. We're kind of the window to the university, and we need to compete. And we have tradition, and I think Coach Tedford's going to bring a mentality back to football, which really is the key to our programs. I mean, that one program itself generates all the revenue we have for all of our sports. Lacrosse had a good year. They were, you know, they won the most games ever. Soccer did fine. Women's tennis, Ryan Scotland's done a phenomenal job. Unfortunately, lost twice now in the finals. The tournament, and they were in the top 40. So, fortunately for us, the Mountain West will only get one team in most sports. A lot of schools, if you finish second, you're going to get in. But the strength of our conference is not as high as some of the other conferences. So, we've got to win to get in the tournament. And I think our coaches know that. We're going to invest resources to them academically, athletically, nutrition-wise, to get better. And then it's going to be up to them to recruit the right kids and compete for championships.
Was there a particular program that you were really proud of this year as far as maybe they made a leap in competition or really stepped up their game a notch? Was there a particular program?
I think Coach Garza did a great job in softball. I think it's always hard to follow, you know, three tournaments, and she made it. She's the only team on our women's sports that made it to the NCAAs. I think Ryan Scotland is one of the best tennis coaches in America. I think what he's done for our program is phenomenal. Obviously, Rodney and Jamie had a chance. She lost in the finals. Rodney got the NIT, which is a tough thing to do. So a lot of them have done well. We've got some areas we have to get better in. I mean, no question. Our GPA is 3.2 McCume for our student athletes, which is great. So I think we can compete, and we need to compete academically to make sure people here are proud of us. But also, we need to compete in the field, and you can do both of those.
Yeah, looking back through the year and all the programs, the one I was looking at that might have made that big jump is lacrosse.
Yeah.
Talk about what they did a little
bit. Yeah, no, it's Jess done a great job. I mean, we're a little bit of a pickle now because we lost some teams in the Mountain West that have gone. Denver left. Pac-12 schools have now merged their own conference, so we lost some of those schools. So we got to now find a conference, and that's one of the big things we got to work on the next year is to there's like three or four teams left. You got to have 60 of automatic qualifier. So they did a great job. I mean, we haven't gotten a postseason. You got to finish in the top four in the league to go to the, you know, deal. But we competed, and as long as you're showing improvement, that's what we want to. We just don't want to be content with being mediocre.
You know, we hear a lot about the academics and athletics rising together, just the ticket to build the community. Yeah. And I know we're just a couple weeks past graduation, yeah, all the ceremonies with the student athletes celebrating, mm-hmm, their success in the classroom, kind, mm-hmm, of, you know, their ultimate, yep, achievement, yep, of their time here in college. Unfortunately, I know you didn't get to go to the commencement ceremony. You were traveling with the softball program in, yeah, the postseason.
Which is a good and bad. I mean, it's good that I was with them. Bad that I was missed graduation.
Yeah, but talk about just how proud you are of these student athletes for what they achieved.
Yeah, we always talk about it. I mean, athletics is critically important. Succeed on the field, classroom, court, whatever. 1% of all our student athletes go pro. 1%. The other 99% go back in the community to work, get jobs, help out, you know, the valley or wherever they're from. So our biggest goal is make sure the kids graduate, which we do a very good job, probably higher than the general population of Fresno State. Our athletes probably graduate at a higher pace with a higher GPA. So our goal is to make sure they graduate. But I still say that, you know, hey, I told you this earlier, I still think we can compete academically, graduate, and also compete on the field. And that's why we have to have the mixture of both. Academics is much more important than athletics, but you can do both.
I think it's pretty neat, you know, that you see now all the student athletes have the sashes or stoles that, yep, they wear that, you know, they're bright white. They say student athlete, yep, in blue with the Bulldog, yep, logo there. And I think when you're attending a graduation ceremony, it's real clear to anyone just how many student athletes are out there graduating. I think that's a really positive sign for the university.
It's phenomenal. I think people need to realize these are student athletes. They're 18 to 20-year-old kids. You know, we all have I have two teenagers now. So really, theoretically, I have 500 teenage kids that we're responsible for. But I think those people realize that when they take the uniform off, they get off the field or off the court, they're just like you and I. And they're young, and they have a bright future ahead of them, and we got to make sure that they have the resources to go in life and succeed outside their playing fields.
You know, down the stretch this season, baseball and softball really looked good on, mm-hmm, the field. I was watching that baseball team, the way they were hitting home runs at a record pace there, and I couldn't help but think back to that magical 2008 season, because it was a real similar thing, just how hot they got all of a sudden. They were hitting more home runs than anyone, yeah, in the country, and it really felt like the Diamond Dogs were going that direction. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in that championship game of the Mountain West tournament, San Diego State pulled it out in the eighth inning.
Yeah, yeah.
But talk about that program, the baseball, yeah, program in particular, a team that's used to going to the regionals, mm-hmm, very frequently, and it's been a few years since they've been back. What do we need to do to get that proud tradition? I mean, it's real close. Like you, yeah, said, they won the regular season title last year, but only one team, yeah, gets in, yeah, the postseason.
Well, I think Bates has done good. I mean, if you look at the stats that they had, they led the league and led the nation in the top 10 in a lot of categories. You know, the problem with the Mountain West a little bit is the strength of schedule. Even though if you win 40 games, you're probably going to get one team in. So we need to compete all year round. We had some down times. We lost some games we probably shouldn't have lost. The kids are great kids, and they're graduating. They're doing a lot of good things in the community. And I think Coach knows the importance of what baseball and softball. Coach Garza, those two sports are proud members of this community, and more so than most programs around the country. And
probably as strong a tradition as any Fresno State sports we have here.
No question. It's like Oregon and track.
Yeah.
I mean, really, track is the heart and soul of Oregon. Baseball, softball, theoretically, and football to a degree, is the heart and soul of Fresno. And so we're going to get there. But I think Coach knows that we need to get back. I mean, people can judge you and say, I finished second. But did you go to the postseason? And they need to realize what the kids are doing academically, where they have the leg. And we got to find that little niche to get over the hump. And that's a big thing.
And I think we've seen some scrutiny recently with the RPI formula, mm-hmm, that they use in college baseball and softball. Yeah. I've seen a few articles out there about it in the past couple of weeks. Do you think that's a part of this process, is getting that adjusted so that it's not necessarily just one team from the Mountain, yeah, West getting in each year?
Well, the problem we have in the Mountain West is we have so many teams that aren't in the top 80 RPI. So even if this is your Pac-12 team or an SEC team, if you're fifth in the league, you're playing five teams every week that are in the top 40. So even if you lose, your RPI goes up. We play, I'll make the name up, North Texas University Community College. I don't want to say a school, but their RPI is 250. We beat them in league, but that hurts us in RPI.
Doesn't do anything for you.
So they're going to look. We have one of our staff members, Steve Robitel, on the baseball committee, and he just goes, there is really nobody in the league had an RPI above, it can't be the top 40, 45 RPI. And if you're not going to get in. And so that means you got to win, or our teams in our league have to get better.
Yeah, and we've heard about it with like the SEC, for instance, where pretty much every team playing in the SEC is going to have a good RPI because
they're playing top 10
teams. Are the teams they're playing all the time. Yeah. So
Pac-12 too. Pac-12 is really good.
Is that something you think needs to be addressed at maybe at the NCAA level of is this formula right for?
It's probably right. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think if you didn't do that, you could just play 40 teams at 200 and say, I got 40 wins. So I think there's a valid reason for it. We as a league need to get better. And we've talked about that in our conference meetings, that we've got to get better in scheduling. We've got to get better beating some teams in the top 15, 20. We played Oregon four times this year, won the first two, then lost the next two. If we would have won three out of four, probably would have our RPI a little bit better. You know, we lost to Michigan State a few times. And so teams, we've got to win those games. And that's just baseball. I'm not talking, basketball's the same way and women's basketball's the same way. But we got to get better. Our league has to get better on beating some of those teams to get the RPI up higher.
And when we talk about softball, talk about the job Linda Garza did in her first year leading that team. We had her on the show just a few weeks ago when her team was fifth or sixth in the conference.
Yeah.
They ended up getting a hot streak. I think they won eight of their final nine games. They jumped up to third, and they got that at-large berth to the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a strong RPI. They played a really tough strength of schedule, and they'd beaten a lot of those top 50 RPI teams. So I think that helped them out a lot, not to mention just the tradition and the name recognition. But the thing that struck me the most having Linda Garza on the show is she said this was a rebuilding year for her. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's pretty impressive if you're going to the NCAA regionals in a rebuilding year.
Well, again, tough spot for her to come into. Trish Ford did a great job. A lot of the players she recruited. So you always come into a program where you have players that you didn't recruit, that you have to have a coaching change and they got to buy into your philosophy. Never easy. Especially with softball, there's such scrutiny on softball in this community to succeed and to win. And what she did, overcoming the change of coaches, overcoming some loss of people that have defected, trying to change the mentality of what her personality is compared to what Trisha's personality was, she did a phenomenal job. And to get the NCAA tournament in rebuilding and restructuring year is great. It's the best times are ahead for softball, and she'll be a great leader for us.
We're gearing up for that 2017-18 season now. I'm sure you guys are well into planning for this coming Bulldog athletic season, but I know it'll be an exciting time, too, with a couple new sports on board. First off, wrestling starts in the fall. Talk about what's going on behind the scenes to get ready for that wrestling program.
You know, the biggest thing right now is, you know, hopefully by this coming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll have a conference established. We're kind of waiting. Hopefully by Monday or Tuesday, we'll know if we're going to go to the Big 12 or Pac-12. I'm kind of leading that up to Troy a little bit to kind of decide what's the best fit for our wrestling program because we want long-term stability for wrestling. Natalie Benson, I mean, I think we hit two home runs on those coaches. I think we could have been luckier to get Troy and Natalie to be on board. They'll now start. They had a year to kind of catch their breath and get recruiting and get their program established. And now we're going to have this coming season to see kind of where we're at. So I think you'll see success on both those fronts. They're quality coaches, and they love to be a Bulldog, and we're going to go from there.
You mentioned Coach Troy Steiner in wrestling. His first recruiting class ranked 20th in the nation by one rating site. So it appears he's bringing in some talent, but it could take some time for those guys to gel and and really kind of find their groove, so to speak. But have you spoken with Coach Steiner about his expectations and when he expects to start winning and competing?
I think any coach comes in, they expect to win right away. I think you'll see probably the wrestling will have the biggest impact in our conference, in our 21 sports of anybody coming in. So he can succeed right away. I don't really take too much validity to the top 20 in the country because you never know. They're 18-year-old kids. They could bomb or they get injured.
It's all projections.
It's all projections. You got to wait 2 years from now to see how they are. But Valley has great support for wrestling in water polo. And there's a great tradition here with Clovis and different schools over there in Buchanan and everything else. So I think there's a chance if we can keep the Valley kids here. A few transfers coming in. He's not going to be fully scholarship this year. I think he's going to use, they get 9.9, so he might be using three or four this year because he wants to save them for, you can't just give nine freshman scholarships. Then you're stuck for the next couple of years. So it'll take a couple of years to transition. But if, you know, the weight classes, if he can have a stud in each weight class, you have a chance to compete.
Yeah, that's definitely a good starting point. Yeah. Do you know yet where wrestling, I assume, will compete in the Save Mart Center, but do you know what that setup will look like?
Volleyball.
Same as volleyball?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they'll kind of have it curtained off with
3,000 seats, yeah.
Yeah, it should be a really nice setting for wrestling, nice intimate setting.
We open with Illinois, which is a big program. They're coming out here. That'll be our first wrestling match we've had. So we'll debate whether or not we should open the whole building or do the small configuration, but I think you'll see a lot of enthusiasm for wrestling. Kudos to Dr. Castro for being persistent on this well before I got here. And we're going to make him proud by doing this.
And I think 6 home matches for wrestling this year. Fans can order those season tickets now by calling 278-DOGS or visiting GoBulldogs.com. Yep. Have you had a chance since you've been in town to go see one of those Buchanan-Clovis wrestling matches the way they make it with all the spotlight and the music and just the whole
I went
production.
Last year when, maybe a year and a half ago when there was 1 vs. 2. And it was wild. So that was right when we were, you know, bring up wrestling. The thought was we were going to bring it back. And I was there and people kept saying, thank you. I couldn't really say we're bringing it back yet because we hadn't.
Yeah.
But I went there just to watch and see the enthusiasm for what wrestling means to this community.
And you mentioned that we're deciding on our conference for wrestling, whether it's Pac-12 or Big 12, and that's because the Mountain West doesn't have enough programs to field its own wrestling conference, so you have to go find another home. So
most of the Mountain West teams are going to the Big 12, Wyoming Air Force. They'll have 11 teams. If we go there, it'll be 12. Pac-12 will have Cal Poly, Davis, Stanford, Arizona State, Oregon State. And if we'd be there 6th, you need 6 for automatic qualifier. So if we don't go to the Pac-12, then they'll need to get some other team to come in and make them a 6-team league.
And for women's water polo, you've already announced the conference I believe it's Golden Coast Conference.
Yeah.
So they'll be competing in the Golden Coast Conference. But when does the women's water polo season get underway?
November-ish. So swimming will go first, and then water polo will compete probably from January through April. They'll probably start practice. They'll have workouts all fall, but their season's more spring season.
Do you think Natalie Benson has that same mentality of winning right away? I know we're in another area that's a hotbed for water polo talent. So
the good thing is we've been able to have her as a player coach, so she's able to play now.
That'd be a nice perk.
she didn't come here to be last place. And we had the choice, you know, originally on that to go to the Pac-12-ish or, you know, the Golden Coast Conference. And you go to the Pac-12 early on program, you got Stanford, Cal, USC, UCLA, who are top five in the country, and it'd be hard for us to compete. You get beaten down, so I think we still could get beaten down in this conference, but it gives us a better chance to build the program and be with a lot of good teams that, you know, you could finish 5th and be in the top 20 in the Pac-12.
Right.
And you're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
So it's just, I mean, there's no way an early on program is going to compete with those 4 schools that are in the top 5 each.
And we'll be in the same conference with San Diego State, which seems like a natural rival.
Exactly. And again, all these conferences are going to change over the years. I mean, who knows what's going to happen to the Power 5 and are you going to 4-16 teams divisions. We got to just place ourselves and worry about us in Fresno State and the Mountain West, not worry about anything else.
Of course, heading into the fall, a lot of the talk, a lot of the eyeballs are going to be on that football program, what new coach Jeff Tedford can do in his first year to turn this thing around. I sat down with Tedford for an extensive Q&A that will appear in the new Fresno State magazine coming out next week, and I asked him what he expects this year and whether fans should expect to win this year. I thought his answer was really interesting. He said he didn't want to predict how many games the Bulldogs would win, but that fans, coaches, players should always expect to be winning. That's his expectation. And then if they take care of those little things, if they prepare each week, the big things take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. What do you think about those expectations for the program in year one?
Well, it's good. You know, I was with him on that little spring tour a couple weeks ago, and he guaranteed a win at Alabama and Washington. So it's that's
problem
a good
solved.
Thing. So we're hopefully be 3-0 heading to the league opener. First of all, I could not be happier or prouder that Coach Jefford's our coach. Nothing against Tim DeRuiter or anything else, but we got lucky that a coach of his caliber and his pedigree in his history as a head coach, would accept the job at Fresno State to be our next leader. He's the one at the highest level. He took a Cal team as 1-11 to 10-2 and number 2 in the country. He played here, coached here. Kids grew up here. He wants to be a Bulldog. He's got a proven track record that he's a winner, does things the right way, academically, on board, you know, the whole thing. Team player. And I think you'll see great things. Football at Fresno needs to win. And coach knows that because that's the only revenue stream we have. Every other sport, there's no way we can make money. Football is the only way to make money. So if he succeeds, all our other teams flourish. If football doesn't succeed, they're not. And that's a lot of pressure on one coach.
Not to mention what it does for the university as a whole to have a winning football program that's getting the whole community excited, bringing people to campus.
Bringing 40,000 fans in town. And
boosting your application rates.
No question.
I mean, all that stuff's been proven.
No question.
For fans who are anxious to hear the latest about Bulldog Stadium renovation news, we also have a not-yet-seen stadium rendering that will appear in our magazine that's coming up. We appreciate you guys letting us debut that rendering in the magazine. And I know you have a few more renderings that you're waiting to share with the public soon. But what's the latest on that project?
Oh, it's going. You know, it's never an easy, fast. You know, we're looking at the budget, looking at the final designs, getting permitting, getting our performer taken care of. So we're on track. I think in my heart, before we're going to do a two-phase, part 18, part 19. Our contractors feel very strongly that they can do it all in 19 one time and not have to set up, take down, set up, take down. So I think starting in January next year, we'll hopefully have the contractor on board and we'll start construction on January 19th and be ready for the Minnesota game.
I think that's going to be an exciting project, one that can really transform the feel around campus on game day, something that could really be a high-impact addition to our campus.
Has to, you know, people keep saying, can you afford it? Can you not afford it? What are you going to do? We have no option but not to do it because the stadium is falling apart. And the amenities for our fans, restrooms, concessions, stairwells, is not up to par. And we're going to keep losing fans that say it's easier to watch at home than to go to the stadium.
So. Well, yeah, you talk about, you know, 2020, it will be coming up on the 40th anniversary of the stadium opening.
And nothing's been done.
It's, imagine not doing anything to update your house in 40 years. I mean, it would be a mess. So
a mess.
It just makes sense that it's time to really bring it up.
If not, the costs aren't going to go up higher.
Yeah. You know, the Bulldogs, it doesn't help that last year they were 1-11. They had that tough season. But how difficult do you think it is to come off a 1-11 season like that and regain your confidence if you're a player on that team?
Coach probably had a better idea on that, but I think it's very tough mentality-wise. And that's why the coach has got to come in and change their thought process. I think once you're 1-6, 1-7, taking defeat is much easier. Expectations, you might give up. Some kids might be disenchanted. Now it's the job of our new staff to reinvigorate those guys and make sure they understand, you know, you're going to lose some games. But, you know, don't give up, and it's a process. And I think Coach, he's been phenomenal.
I want to talk a little bit of basketball before we let you go here, but disappointing news for the women's team losing its star center, Bego Fosdávalos. She's transferring to Duke for her senior season. Already graduated from Fresno State, so she'll be eligible to play immediately there. But, you know, she's really an exemplary student athlete, someone who's been just a pleasure, I think, for everyone to work with and talk to and get to know. So people will miss her around here. We certainly wish her all the best, but in your career, have you ever been around a program that lost such a key piece to a transfer like that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I hate when kids transfer when they're sophomores because they're not playing or they don't like the new coach or whatever. When a kid graduates like Bego did, and she did all she did for our program, and she's a fifth-year senior with a graduate degree, I have no problem. She wants to go to a higher level and try it out. I think she would have been better off staying. I think she could help dominate the Mountain West. I think it's going to be much tougher in the ACC. But she's a quality person and done a lot for our program, and I give her kudos. So it's every program loses players. I've been at schools where we brought in fifth-year transfers, people from Canada, whatever it might be. So I can't argue it, but I think kids, NCAA has their own issues. But I think if a player graduates and has done everything she can or he can to be part of the university and wants to spend their graduate time at a different school, kudos. I don't like it when a coach leaves and a sophomore goes, I'm going to follow that coach to that school. Because they came here to Fresno to be at Fresno, not because of a coach. But, you know, it's a big business now. And if it's my son and or daughter and she wanted to spend her graduate career somewhere else, I'm not going to stand in the way of that.
I think we're seeing it more and more, especially in basketball, it seems like, where there's, you know, transfers from year to year. Some are eligible immediately. Mm-hmm. Some sit out a year. But it really seems to have changed the way you recruit and plan for your basketball roster in particular.
Yeah, there's one and dones. A lot of them, you look at Kentucky, they have half their team plays 1 year. But, you know, it's basketball, you can go out and you play 1 year and then you can leave. Every other sport but baseball or golf, you don't have to go to college. But again, I hate when kids, you know, they have a bad game and they don't start, so I'm going to transfer. You got to stick it out a little bit. We've invested a lot of money in the recruiting trips, dorms, equipment, medical. So it's just one of those things where I think, but again, athletics is a big business, NCAA. We can't dictate to what the kids want to do. So, and we want kids to want to be here and be happy, not kids that are here because they have to be here or bitter. So,
yeah, you got to want to be here to be successful, it seems like, in most cases. And I know on the men's side of things, the men's basketball team, Coach Rodney Terry, he's optimistic about what he has returning with two all-conference players in Deshaun Taylor and Jerron Hopkins. Plus, he's got one of the best freshmen in the conference, Bryson Williams, coming back. One of the nation's leading three-point shooters in Jamel Taylor. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited to see what that team can do this coming season.
Well, Coach Terry's done a great job. He's just a quality person in this community, and he wants to be here also. He built this program. It was kind of a mess when he took over. You know, their GPA in the spring so far as like right now is almost 3 point as a team, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's got great people coming back. He's got some local people here, local kids that are going to bring some valid connections to it. He's done a great job recruiting. Byron and his whole staff, along with Rodney, have done a phenomenal job. So I'm just tickled that we got him to extend his contract, and he's going to be a Bulldog here for a while.
As we know, the Bulldogs' marquee non-conference home game in men's basketball this season is against Oregon.
Who's that?
Oregon, I think, some school up in Eugene. I don't know if you're familiar, but the Ducks are coming to town after making the Final Four last season, and Fresno State played them tough last year in Eugene, and I know there's no team you'd rather beat, right, Jim? Right.
Well, first of all, it's good to get a quality team to come here to Fresno to be the Save Mart Center. I mean, I think that's, you know, forget whether it's Oregon or Oregon State or Stanford, where it might be. Having a quality Pac-12 or Division I Power 5 school come here, it's good for our fans. Our players will get into it. I have a ton of respect for Dane Altman, the Oregon program. He's a good friend of mine, helped hire him. Proud that they went to the Final Four last year, and obviously we want to beat them. So it's good for our program, good for our community. But after that game is over, I'm going to be rooting for Coach Altman to go to the Final Four again, just because he's that kind of person. So it's going to be fun to have him here. He's coming here because of our relationship, and I appreciate him taking the ability to sign a home and home with us to have him come here.
Are we going to get a side bet or something in that game? Like, athletic director has to shave their head if they lose, something like that?
Can't bet. It's illegal. It's against bet.
What do you call what can you call it legally? A wager? I don't know.
We do the governor. You know,
there you go.
We'll give his mom, and he can give me some wine from the valley or something like that.
So, there you go. So no head shaving, though.
No.
I know you've been traveling around with several of the Bulldogs coaches this summer. You got some trips coming up all over California to meet fans and alumni and things like that. How important is it to you and to the future success of this program to get the community involved and really rally everyone around Bulldog athletics?
Well, it's live or die on that one. So if we don't have the Valley supporting us, we have no chance. And fortunately, I think we've done a great job in our staff of getting out in the community. Our coaches have really bought into it. But when you're 4-20 in 2 years, it takes away the sting a little bit. So I think we have some enthusiasm now with Coach. Get some wins early on. Fans will come. Fans want to have the ability to see a winner. And with Bulldog Stadium, as old as it is and beat up as it is, it's easier sometimes to stay home and say, I'm not going to get, if you're 1-10, why go fight the crowd and the bad seats? And why can't sit at home and watch on flat screen television and order a pizza? So we've got to make sure that we take care of our fans, make sure they know we care, but also we need to have a little bit of success.
That's all the time we have for today. Jim Bartko, thanks for being with us.
Well, my pleasure. Anytime, Eddie.
Thanks to Jim Bartko for getting on the hot seat with us, and thank you all for listening. Please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.